Welcome to today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks. I'm Grayson Willis, and today I'm joined by Pastor Margaret Michael, a returning guest on Front Porch Talks. Pastor Margaret, how are you doing today?
I am doing well today. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's good to have you, Pastor Margaret. Why don't you just start off just letting us know a little bit about what we're going to be talking about today?
Well, actually, how this kind of all came together in my mind was actually sitting in Celebrate Recovery on Monday night, and the Lord laid something on my heart as I was sitting in Celebrate Recovery. We were talking about, we're kind of winding up the last step, the 12th step, and in Celebrate Recovery, and the message was on not getting stuck and continuing to persevere. And the teaching that night was on being in the Word and making sure that we don't just take what the Word says and read it and walk away and forget it, but to actually apply it to our life. And, you know, we've been in Celebrate Recovery now for a year, and the Lord has just done amazing things through this ministry in my life and in other leaders' lives and in the folks in our community. And I was going to go up and do the closing for this session. And what the Lord shared with me in that moment at Celebrate Recovery, that is really what I want to share today. I feel like we might all be able to get a little help out of it. It's really working on me right now, so I want it to work on somebody else other than just me, maybe. Billy Graham passed away, and so that has just maybe added another layer of thought to this thought that the Lord had given me on Monday night. And I read a quote this morning from Billy, and the quote is this: "The greatest barrier to knowing God's will is simply that we want to run our own lives. Our problem is that a battle is going on in our hearts, a battle between our wills and God's will." And this is so true. We know that there is a great battle. And Galatians 5:16 and 17 speaks to this battle that's going on, and maybe this is a way just to kind of get us to where we're going today. And I think about Billy Graham and how much he wanted people just to give their whole heart to Jesus Christ. And today he's in heaven sitting with those who came to Christ under his ministry. I think that's just an amazing thought. People that heard the words and believed them and lived them and are now in eternity. But from Galatians 5:16 and 17, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting against each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions."
Well, Pastor Margaret, some of the things that I was thinking about as you were reading those scripture verses are that we can't do it on our own. You were talking about the sinful nature and the spiritual nature. Well, us humanly, which we have a sin nature, we were all born with a sin nature. If we do not have the Spirit living in us and taking control of our lives, then we'll do things that we'll regret later and things that aren't pleasing to God. And that's part of that spiritual battle with the evil one. And that's why we need the Spirit living within us to help us. He can fight for us, so to speak, and stand for us. And we know the battle's already been won. We know that the enemy's already been defeated. And actually, recently in a life group session, the study we're doing, Goliath Must Fall by Louis Giglio, it was a neat perspective that he presented. Was God was David fighting Goliath, not us fighting Goliath. We're like the Israelite army that was afraid of Goliath, but how, you know, God already fought and won that battle for us.
That's right.
And it also talked about a snake, how after a snake is dead, it still has poisons that can be dangerous if you step on the snake or whatnot. Mm-hmm. So even though the devil has already been defeated, there's still things that he can do to cause us harm or to cause us pain, and we need to make sure that we have the spirit living in us to protect us from those harmful things.
That's right. There was another thing that Louis had said, that the enemy's been defeated, but he's still talking. And that really speaks to that idea of the battlefield of the mind. So in thinking about the natures, you know, the sinful nature, the Holy Spirit coming to live in us, and we know there's this battle. And I was thinking about, you know, sometimes we just live recklessly. And maybe it's because we haven't taken a thought captive. It can be that simple, I think, sometimes, that whether it's a thought or an action. And the Lord just brought to my mind a couple things where I remember as a kid that maybe I lived a little recklessly, of taking some chances. I remember I was probably about 9 or 10, and it was the winter time, and you know, we love to go ice skating. And my brothers and I were on the pond ice skating. It's a Sunday afternoon. We had had company over for a meal. There were extra kids there that day. And my brothers decided, and some other of the boys decided, they would cut a hole in the ice. And they were balanced enough and smart enough that they would just take their skate up and lift up over that hole as they skated over it. And I thought it looked really cool, and so I decided that I would like to try to skate over the hole. And, well, it didn't go as good for me. And the next thing I know, I'm up to my armpits in freezing cold water. And they had to pull me out. And as I was running to the house, my dress just froze solid. And I walked in. We have a house full of company. And here I am, soaking wet, frozen dress. And my mom was a tad flustered at the whole situation. But the truth is, I was skating too close to the edge. I was living recklessly in that moment in a physical sense, and I fell in. And I think it is just the way things, this can be so true in our spiritual life, that we come to Christ and, you know, Jesus has defeated the enemy. We know that, but he is still talking. And so we skate too close maybe to that old life. And then he brought to mind another time, and this time we lived, of course, at the bottom of Mole Hill on the west side, and I decided one day that I would get on my bike, and I would just get on my bike, and I would ride to my house, and I would not hit my brakes. Well, I made it around a few of the curves. It was just that last one that got me, and there are laws of gravity, and when you're going as fast as I was going, you can be rest assured that you're not going to be upright when you come around the corner. And so, again, living recklessly in physical sense, and I ended up in a ditch and ended up in the doctor's office that day to heal my wounds or to treat my wounds. We've been watching the Olympics, and we can see what happens. There are laws of gravity, but there's also God's laws. You know, just as much as we can wipe out on the slopes, we can wipe out on the road, whatever. We take that and look at it in a spiritual sense, and we've been given God's word, and he is true to his word. And if we're living too close to that old life, sometimes we can find ourselves in a place that is dangerously close, and sometimes we'll find ourselves having made a decision because we were too close to the old life.
And certainly, Pastor Margaret, as you were talking, I was thinking we want to live the opposite of trying to live, you know, doing whatever we can do or the least amount we can do to just get by. We want to live making sure that we're giving God the glory and the praise and everything that we are doing, and that we're being the best witness we can to those around us and making the most of this life and the opportunities that God gives us. And we don't want to take any chances of falling right. into the hole or the trap that the enemy has for us.
Right.
And, you know, you were talking about the laws of gravity, and certainly God's laws are more important
Amen.
Even so than the laws of gravity. And certainly if we don't obey his laws, the punishment is even steeper than just a few scrapes and bruises.
So true.
You know, not obeying his laws, not obeying his ways will result in death. It says the wages of sin is death, and certainly we don't want to experience eternal death, and we don't want those around us to experience it either, so we want to make sure that they're aware. And one of the traps, I think, of the enemy is, you know, if we've asked him to come into our life and purify us from sin, then we should be a different person. We shouldn't be, like you said, living on the edge, like,
right.
well, I'm not as bad as I used to be, or at least I'm not doing this, or look at that person, I'm living a better life than them. That's a trap that we can get caught up in. We don't want to focus on others or focus on the standards that we used to live by,
right.
but focus on the new standards, God's standards, and live our lives as a new creation, because we are a new creation in Christ, and we want to live the best life that he has for us.
Right. And the scripture that God brought to my mind when I was thinking about this was in Romans 12, starting in verse 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. And this thought came to me. What if we lived recklessly close to God? What if we really allowed him to transform our mind and to take every thought captive, that maybe the enemy would try to put certain thoughts in our mind, but if we would take our thoughts captive and we would allow him to renew our mind from that old way of thinking? I was sitting there, I was like, what would this look like? What would it look like to have a renewed mind and to actually live out leaning into him, living recklessly close to him, instead of leaning the opposite direction? The scripture, it's actually in Romans 12, I think he gives us some really good, in Romans 12, actually I would just start in verse 9, he really lays it out, Apostle Paul lays out what it looks like, our personal responsibility to be a living sacrifice. We've been bought with a price. We are not our own. If we have accepted Christ as our Savior, we are his. And he has given us a roadmap to live by. He's given us instruction that will, in essence, bring glory to God and will draw other people to him. And so just verse 9, I'll just start there as kind of, this is the way we renew our mind. As I read through these, I see where he's taking maybe thoughts that we would have had in our old life, and he's helping us to make new choices. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. And what he's saying is, hey, be real, love others, don't pretend. This isn't a life of pretensions. We have to be genuine. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Now, I just stop there and say we need to be still and know that he is God, too. It's not all about working, but he's talking about ethics, the type of work ethic, to not be lazy, but to serve and work hard and do it as unto the Lord, because that's really what we're doing. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Well, that's a renewing of the mind, isn't it? To bless those who persecute you. And he says, don't curse them. That's what we would have done in the old life. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Apostle Paul says, never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge, I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good.
Well, Pastor Margaret, some of the thoughts that I had as you're reading those scripture verses from Romans 12 were that we can't be like the world. If we're to win the world, we have to be different than the world. And that's what God is calling us to do in those scripture verses. You know, if somebody curses you, bless them or show them kindness, those that are mean to you or rude to you. We need to love others. And, you know, we want to be real with others because people can see when you're being fake, right? Or when you're not, you know, extending kindness with a, you know, true spirit, so to speak, or an authentic way, they can kind of see through that. And so in order to be a reflection of Christ, we need to be real and to be loving and caring and kind. And we need to not live like the world does. We can still be in the world, but not of the world.
Yes.
And as Christians, that's what God calls us to do.
Right. And this is truly what we would call living by the law of love. We've talked about laws of gravity, but this is really the law of love, is to know that we have been bought, that there has been a way made for us, and we should have such a grateful heart for what the Lord has freed me from, that I want to live recklessly for Him, and God calls us to do that. And again, going back to what Billy Graham said, the greatest barrier is knowing God's will is simply that we want to run our own lives. Our problem is that a battle is going on in our hearts, a battle between our wills and God's. And it is a place of surrender that we must come to, where we can lean into Him and He leans in to us. And life is so much better. It's a place of safety. It's not a place that we have to guess whether we're in or we're out, but we can lean into Him, and He is so faithful. The Lord is so faithful to not maybe give us what we want, but what we need. In Oswald Chambers' My Utmost for His Highest today, The Discipline of Spiritual Perseverance, I felt like it was kind of a good way to close this today. You may have some thoughts on it, and I would love to hear your thoughts. But the scripture for the devotional today is, "Be still and know that I am God," from Psalm 46:10. Perseverance is more than endurance. It is endurance combined with absolute assurance and certainty that what we are looking for is going to happen. Perseverance means more than just hanging on, which may be only exposing our fear of letting go and falling. Perseverance is our supreme effort of refusing to believe that our hero is going to be conquered. Our greatest fear is not that we will be damned, but that somehow Jesus Christ will be defeated. Also, our fear is that the very things our Lord stood for, love, justice, forgiveness and kindness among men will not win out in the end and will represent an unattainable goal for us. Then there is the call to spiritual perseverance, a call to hang on and do nothing, but to work deliberately, knowing with certainty that God will never be defeated. If our hopes seem to be experiencing disappointment right now, it simply means that they are being purified. Every hope or dream of the human mind will be fulfilled if it is noble and of God. But one of the greatest stresses in life is the stress of waiting for God. He brings fulfillment. Because you have kept my commandments to persevere. From Revelation 3:10. Continue to persevere spiritually.
Well, Pastor Margaret, when you were talking about be still and know that I am God, two of the things that come to my mind are the saying, be still and know that you are not God. And also, dear brother and gentleman in our church, Brother Earl Clark, his prayer about God, you be God all by yourself. And that's acknowledging
yes.
that we know that God is God and that we're not, so to speak, and that we're trusting him. And another thought along those lines that I have is also another recent small group setting. We were talking about how, you know, and this isn't always easy, the fact that the only thing that we have to do in our relationship with God is surrender.
Right.
Surrender our
right.
lives to him. That's easier said than done. But it should, you know, it should give us hope and it should give us confidence knowing it's not relying on anything that we can do to, you know, to get glory from our lives. It's God. Once we've surrendered our lives to him, he's in control of our lives. And it's not up to us to, you know, get glory for him. But he can use us and he can do a work through us. So it's him. So it's not so much in trying, but in trusting,
right.
as the song says.
Right. That's so true. Yes, it is a life of surrender, and it is a daily. You know, his mercies are new every day, and things come at us, and we have to, I think one thing that helps me to know if, am I holding on? Are there things that I haven't surrendered? What do I have my grip on? Are my hands open? And have I released things in my life, or am I trying to work out the details of things myself, things that are way bigger than me? It's easy to not surrender, to not lean into God. For some people, it might be skating recklessly close to the edge, might be something they haven't surrendered yet, maybe looking at things in the old life and thinking they still have value, when really those are the things that God, he doesn't always take everything out of our life, but he asks us to release it and just trust him with the details. And there may be unknowns, there may be fear in our lives. We live in a time where there is a lot of fear, and we serve a king who is not wringing his hands wondering what to do. He is in control, and that's the Lord. He's not missing anything. And when we see all of these things happening, sometimes we feel like we have to do something. And we do. We have to surrender it and trust that the Lord knows what he's doing. And as we lean into God and we lean into the Word and we soak in the Word, we're with other believers and we release those things. Once we take our grip off of whatever it might be and begin to put ourselves into the Romans 12, starting in verse 9 list, we will experience great peace. And as we surrender and allow him to work out the details all by himself, as Earl talks about.
Well, Pastor Margaret, thank you for joining me today. And one final thought that I had in regards to this topic is another thing we need to be aware of is if the devil or the enemy can't get us lost in sin or lost in destroying our lives, then he'll just keep us busy. And so we got to beware of busyness, doing things just to fill our lives or feeling like we have to do things for God, because we shouldn't be wanting so much to do things for God, but to do things with God, for Him to use us and to do things through us. And so that was just another thought that I had in relation to this topic that we've been talking about today.
Yeah, I was talking to someone this week, actually, and they said they're always asking the question, Lord, what should I do? What should I do? What should I do? It came at them kind of in rapid fire. And they took that to the Lord, and the Lord said, it's not what should I do, but who should I be? You know, who are we being? Are we being still before the Lord? Who are we being? Because that is... there are things that as believers that we'll need to do, but first we need to be still and know that He is God and be faithful in perseverance, being content to not have all the answers. And sometimes being still and awaiting is one of the hardest things that we do, but it is important for our own surrender, and as we do that, God can certainly move in ways that we never dreamed or imagined.
That's a good word, Pastor Margaret. Thanks again for joining me for today's edition of Front Porch Talks.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks. We pray that it's been a half hour of hope for your life. We leave you with Kim McLean's song, Whole Heart.
I will love you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of your wonderful works. I will rejoice and be glad in you and sing praises unto your name. You are most high. You are tell of your wonderful works. I will rejoice and be glad in you and sing praises unto your name. You are most high. You are my Redeemer. You are my
broadcast of Front Porch Talks is sponsored by Sunshine Ministries.